Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alongside Danny Ruye, I'm Grant Paulson. You're listening to The Fan, and we thank you for choosing us. We know you've got plenty of options. Each day at noon, you're going to get a pretty informative segment here at the top of the 12 o'clock hour. We call it our Beltway Blitz. We crowbar a lot of content into about 10 minutes. Let's get to it and start you off on the diamond. Jorge Castillo covers the Nats for the Washington Post. Jorge, is it too soon to say that Bryce Harper is out of his slump? Three doubles last night. He's been hitting the ball much harder in the last few days. He's been drawing more walks as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a little too early, but just given his track record, you have to expect that he's going to bust out of it sooner or later. And maybe these last few days is just the beginning of that. And, you know, Bryce Harper's not going to hit, you know, 150 or 100, whatever it's been in June for very long. He's too good of a hitter to do that.
Jorge, injury update. Strasburg playing catch here, which is encouraging. Ryan Zimmerman, Matt Adams, they could use some of these bodies back.
Yeah, I mean, Strasburg playing catch is obviously it's obviously progress, but you know he hasn't thrown off a mound yet, so he's probably just a little ways away. Ryan Zimmerman should start a rehab assignment about a week from now, and then Matt Adams, obviously, just finger situation with a fracture that he could be out a month, you know, 6 weeks. The Nationals haven't really been forthcoming with the timetable, but obviously, they can use all the help they can get. The rotation is a little beat up right now, and their offense hasn't been, you know, very great as of late. But if Murphy and Parkman started, maybe things will turn around a bit here.
You mentioned the rotation. Eric Fetty and Jeffrey Rodriguez are making starts every fifth day right now. Neither has ever won a game in the majors. No Strasburg, no Hellickson. Hellboy was throwing the ball really well before his injury. Are the Nats in the market, do you think, for starting pitching, or do they just feel like they got to get healthier and then they'll be fine?
I think when a starting pitcher wouldn't hurt. But the problem is who's out there, who's available that's better than what you have right now when you're healthy. You know, just the market as of right now, you know, late June, is Chris Archer available? Is DeGrom available? Guys like that, like who will be a considerable upgrade for Game 3 of an NLDS? You know, so right now, I think right now that their plan is just to get healthy. Strasburg and Hellickson get back. I mean, they had the best starting rotation in the National League before their injuries. So I think just for now, they're going to wait it out.
What are they going to do with their outfield? Adam Eaton has sat a couple times over the last week, and Taylor sat, but he's been hot, and hopefully Bryce Harper gets going. You can't sit Soto, obviously, outside of a day off here or there. How do you see that rotation of those four guys really shaking out going forward, Jorge?
Yeah, that's the question I think that's sort of lingering right now. It's maybe they flip one at the deadline. I don't know, with Brian Goodwin, Michael A. Taylor, like there's five guys. You know, if you had Brian Goodwin through the equation, obviously he's a rung below the rest of them, but I don't know. It's kind of a logjam right now. These things tend to sort themselves out. We've had, you know, I've been thinking about, you know, there have been a bunch of questions like how they're going to fit this guy and this guy, and then the injury pops up or something else pops up and it sort of sorts itself out. But right now they have a logjam, and Adam Eaton's not playing every day. Michael A. Taylor isn't playing every day. Michael A. Taylor, you could argue, has been, you know, one of the three best hitters this month. So it's tough. It's tough. I mean, maybe they flip one of the deadline. Maybe it sorts itself out, but for now, it's kind of like a rotation. You know, you can't sit Juan Soto. You're not going to sit Bryce Harper. So it's really just Michael A. Taylor, Adam Eaton switching off every day, every other day.
Jorge, thank you.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thank you.
See you, buddy.
Appreciate you joining the Blitz. Let's talk some hockey with our buddy Steve Wino of the Associated Press. Swino, give us a national perspective on the 8 years, $64 million for John Carlson, who we're expected to talk to in about 20 minutes. Your thoughts on keeping him around at such a high price?
Look, I think it was exactly the price everyone expected, and this was market value. The Coyotes are going to sign Oliver Ekman-Larsson. It's very comparable to John Carlson to a contract. It's very similar to that, a little bit more expensive, actually. Victor Hedman in Tampa signed a team-friendly deal in a state with no income tax. That's a little bit less than what John Carlson made, but this is the deal that everyone kind of thought was coming after John Carlson led all defensemen in points in the regular season and playoffs.
So I know you've forgotten more about hockey this morning than I know my entire life, but I look at flipping Grubauer and all of Orpik's salary to somebody else in exchange for a second-round pick, which opened up the doors, John Woo, a bunch of doves flying behind me style, to be able to sign Carlson and maybe Kempney and some other pieces. I feel like that's a masterstroke. Do you agree, or B, am I wrong, and tell me why?
Oh, yeah, you are correct. But I don't think it was like Brian McClellan leased Joe Sakic and the Avalanche. I think it was one of those deals that worked out for basically everybody involved.
Sure.
Capitals got the salary cap space they needed. And look, they're going to have to use all of it with Carlson, Kempney, Devontae Smith-Pelly, Tom Wilson, and being able to replace Philip Grubauer in goal, and potentially even bringing Brooks Orpik back on a cheaper one-year contract. And it works out for Philip Grubauer to be able to be a 1A lease goaltender with Semyon Varlamov in Colorado. They get their goaltender. But, yeah, no, it was a masterstroke to be able to get an asset like a second-round pick and still clear all this space.
Go into more detail, though, on the second part of that. Orpik now in Colorado maybe being bought out and returning. I'm curious if that's plausible, how much it might take. Is it something the Caps should be interested in, or is it just a crazy idea?
Well, the team is interested in it, and we're not sure quite yet if Brooks Orpik and his camp are interested there. They're certainly fielding calls now that he's been bought out by Colorado from other teams. I don't know what kind of demand level there is out there for a 37-year-old defenseman, but he certainly showed he can still play, and there's a value in at least a third-pairing guy and what he can do in playoff-style hockey. That, look, if he's able to get a contract, not what he signed with the Capitals a few years ago, but if he's able to get $2-4 million a year from another team, I'm sure he will sign that deal instead of coming back. But if he looks around the league and says there aren't a whole lot of options out there for him, I don't see why he wouldn't come back. If the money is right, if the fit is right, it's like nothing happened. I mean, they love Brooks Orpik on this team. He's an alternate captain. He was the third guy to get the cup. It makes all the sense in the world unless another team comes out there with a big, potentially multi-year offer.
At Swino on Twitter, great follow for Hockey in Formation. I follow him. You should, too. Swino, we look at the shopping list, and we're thinking, hey, a couple of veterans, they might come back, et cetera. Give me a couple guys that may be the cheap farm system kind of alternatives that could fill bigger roles, kind of like Christian Jews did this year. He may not have been on everybody's radar before the season started, but played an instrumental role. Think of Chandler Stephenson or somebody like that. Are there a couple other young players up and coming that might be able to save them a few bucks?
Yeah, and Travis Boyd is probably going to be the biggest one. I think Chandler Stephenson will replace Grant's boy, Jay Beagle, as a fourth-line center. I don't think there's any chance Jay Beagle comes back. I think he's too in demand. I do think Nathan Walker has a chance of making his team next year. Both of those guys are options. I also wonder if they consider bringing back Alex Chiasson on a one-year deal, just given how close he is with Alex Ovechkin. I think they're going to have to plug a few of those holes. And if Brooks Orpik is not back, this is going to be Madison Bowie time. For on the blue line, and maybe Lucas Johansson, the first-round pick from a couple of years ago, might finally get his chance to play in the NHL.
Steve Wino of the AP, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Sounds good, guys. Talk to you soon.
It's late June, which means another ESPN The Body installment. I don't mind it. Danny thinks it stinks. We'll do our annual discussion/argument over that in a minute. John Carlson expected to join the show bottom of the hour around 12:30. You're listening to The Fan. All right, Danny, I've got our answer. Welcome back, 106.7 The Fan here on G&D. Appreciate you listening. So you asked me, what are the things I do that annoy my wife? I asked her, and she has now gotten back to me.
Is it, well, first of all, glad she got back to you and didn't do something that annoys you about her,
which
where she doesn't get
respond,
back to you.
Yeah. Right. Well, it did take her, in fairness, 21 minutes. I would prefer that to be more like 21 seconds.
Instantaneous, yeah.
So she gave me three things. She was kind enough to give me three things when I asked for one.
Oh, very, very thorough. Yes, good.
The first, this is actually a good one, texting and driving. Although texting is not what I do. It's more like looking at my GPS and like finding things on my phone or whatever. But she doesn't like any use of my cell phone while I drive.
I agree with that.
I rarely text and drive at this point, but I'm not great about putting my phone away completely because I'm 100% of the time on my GPS on my phone.
You do a talk-to-text bit.
I do a talk-to-text
yeah.
bit. It's not a good talk-to-text. It's a lot of misspelled words in there.
That's what talk-to-text is.
Clickety-clackety all the time, she writes. This means that she does not like how often I'm on my computer. She calls it clickety-clackety. It also means that she hates, like when we go to bed, she wants to go to bed. She wants lights out. In bed, upstairs, no TV. Me going to bed means she's falling asleep at 9:30, and I'm going to now entertain myself until about 12:30 in the morning.
You're doing like a wind down Wendell bit where you're comfortable. Exactly. You've got carpal tunnel.
She
going
hates
on the computer,
when I get on
TV,
my laptop
yeah.
next to her in the bed, or if I'm just like we're watching a baseball game on the couch and she's laying there and I get on my computer. But I'm putting together, you know, like you are looking for stuff, reading
yeah.
stuff, putting together rundowns. There's work to be done. She hates that.
She hates work, yeah.
And then the other thing is you don't put your clothes in the hamper either, but I don't really care. She mentioned
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I bet you care.
So
point of order, Your Honor.
Right. So she might care just a little bit.
I bet you she cares.
So that seems like three things right there. Any of those ring a bell?
Yeah, they all do. You doing work, I think, is unavoidable. I think people don't understand our jobs. They think,
right.
you guys only work for 4 hours a day. We do this part of it for 4 hours a day. Then the rest of the time that you're casually reading or not reading, we're basically casting the widest net possible to see if we can figure out what the hell we're going to talk about the next day.
Right.
So sometimes...
And not just figure out what we're going to talk about, but, I don't know, form stronger opinions or learning about content and information.
Yeah,
and
we try to be informed.
Exactly.
And sometimes I fail miserably at that. And, you know, I say that Jeremy Maclin's going to torment the Redskins in the NFC East. Other times we succeed. So hopefully the shooting percentage is high.
But you know what happened is that time that you thought Jeremy Maclin was still on the Eagles, that night you probably felt worried or... a little bit nervous, judged perhaps by your wife, that if you got on your computer to look up who Jeremy Maclin played for, maybe she was going to get upset. And that made you look like a fool in front of tens of thousands of people.
Like a big fool. Like a fool, damn it.
So really, you should have done your clickety-clacking.
I should have clickety-clacked. Should have clacked. So that one I can't get behind. How distracted you are as a driver and a traveler, I can get behind that. And not putting your clothes in the hamper. What are you doing? Where do you put them?
I make a pile of clothes in my room. That's kind of what it's like a clothes pile.
No, you got to be better than that.
I like a clothes pile. She has also taken it upon herself to start doing my laundry.
Mm-hmm.
I never asked her to do that.
Oh, it's a wonderful gift. Don't smack that gift horse in the mouth.
I'm not. I'm very proud of her. I'm happy for me, and I'm happy that she's doing it, and I'm thankful to her. And I hope she understands my gratitude. However, you don't have to do that. I've never asked you. I've been doing my laundry for a long time.
I see. Mm.
So if you're going to do that, that's great. But don't be upset if they're just not like in a certain area. You know what I mean?
Kind of.
Granted, she's doing me a favor.
So
this is coming off wrong.
Least you could do is throw them in the hamper.
Yeah, I just don't. I'm not a hamper guy. I don't really like hampers. I like having a pile of clothes.
Yeah, yeah. So what I'm saying is get out of that. Because
right.
at one point you weren't a name every food ever guy, and then you try to realize that food is so great.
That's
besides the four things that you've eaten.
I didn't used to love pickled onions, and now I do.
Yeah, now you're all about them. So I would say put your clothes in the hamper. The other thing I would say is...
Are you a big hamper clothes guy?
I'm a big whatever works for my wife guy. So we have a laundry basket. That's where it goes.
So that's what I am. I'm a laundry basket guy. Why can't I be a laundry basket guy?
If she was a hamper gal, so would I. My point is a wonderful service is being done for you.
Yeah.
It's off your plate.
I don't like what you're doing right
Embrace
now,
it.
For the record.
No.
You're turning me into the bad guy.
No. But you're right about the quote clickety-clack. That's unavoidable. I guarantee that's the thing that she's the most irritated about, is that. The other part of it is, if she's going to do this service, do it the way she wants.
I agree. Yeah. I'm 100% on board with all that. I'm just saying, I could do the service. I'm cool with doing the laundry.
Nobody's challenging that you're capable or not capable of doing it.
Right.
But it's a wondrous gift that
it's a great gift.
This tedious chore is now off your plate.
That's a good point.
So that's what, again, people ask all the time, like, what is marriage? Like, what's the nature of it? For dudes, it's a lot of compromise, a lot of unlearning what you have learned, a lot of the way you did it for you 30 years, incorrect.
Yeah.
You didn't realize that, and you have to swallow that pride every day. The upside is the towels are soft. That's kind of it.
One other thing.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like there's a you guys have embroidery on your towels now, or there's like nicer soap.
Yes, way nicer soap,
that's
way nicer towels. Everything really about my home is improved, which I give her a lot of credit for.
Yeah.
One other thing that annoys me a little bit, I'll do the last one because this isn't helping anyone.
Sure.
And if she's listening, it's certainly not helping
Words
me.
Words like limited upside come to mind.
Exactly. One other bit, and she's cleaned up her act here a little bit, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
So I hate any like residual toothpaste or like any kind of sign of brushing your teeth being left in the sink. Does that make any sense?
It does, yeah. Any streak.
Right.
So if you brush your teeth in such a way and then when you expectorate, like you wash your mouth
right.
out, and if it just so happens that there's a clump of toothpaste that doesn't get washed down the drain.
I can't have that.
You can't have it.
I cannot have it.
Okay.
Is that an unreasonable thing?
I would say that it is.
Like if I went to your bathroom right now and there was a little toothpaste in the sink.
What would you do about it?
I'd be furious.
Yeah, that's unreasonable.
Mortified for you.
Unreasonable.
I would think that you are...
a slob.
A goose.
Slovenly.
A goose. How about that?
An irresponsible,
that
non-productive member of society.
That you should be playing for Slovenia in the World Cup. How about that? Please don't do that, Danny. You want me to put my clothes in a hamper? Fine. I need you to wash your toothpaste out of your sink. Get it out of there.
Huh.
It should never be there.
But you can understand how it could get there.
I know how it ends up there, and then you just wipe it away very quickly. Very, very quickly.
Such a quick little wipe. That's a twice-a-day endeavor, though, versus every bit of laundry that you're going through. One could be I made a mistake. I didn't notice it because it's sometimes not noticeable. The other is I'm actively not putting the clothing where you want me to put the clothing as a purposeful sign of disrespect. That's how that could be thrown against you in a court of law.
I'm lucky, though. She does a good job being my friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, supporting the team.
We have a good thing going.
The way I view it, I know we're overdwelling on these things. I am very low. I would say I'm lowly high maintenance in the sense that the things that I care about, I care about them so much. I only have a couple things.
What
that
are your
ask.
Things for her?
Mostly respect my things. In other words, like,
what does that mean?
It means that I have a way that for example, I make coffee for myself. I got everything assembled every night, and then it grinds the beans fresh in the morning and does this whole setup, this whole
system.
Is
it on a timer?
Yeah. I have it set up the way I like it exactly. The disposal of the beans in the coffee filter and everything else, it just needs to be done a certain way because I run the operation. I run very few things in the home. There are very few things that I do that are better than the way that she does it. She's better than me in every aspect of life, with the exception of this. She's not a coffee drinker. I am. So when the disposal of the filter isn't correct, or she doesn't put the filter in there, whatever it is, please just respect my things. I only have a couple things that I ask for. This is one of the things. Please just do it. So I can't think of all those top of my head. But
is she good at that? Like, does she respect your coffee things?
For the most part. But there are times where
what
she thinks...
What does disrespect look like? What does that mean?
It means that I'll have a worse cup of coffee, or sometimes there'll be too many grains floating in the bottom, like I'm drinking a Turkish coffee. But
I mean,
not.
Does it mean she actually tinkers with it, or she tries to throw it away, or what? Like, what is?
Yeah, I mean, it manifests itself in a number of ways, and they don't come from a bad place. There's nothing malicious about it, which is what I try to explain as well when I don't know which towel is which.
Am I off base when I say, I imagine you, like in that moment, this is the tone you take where you go, do you call her babe or hun? What do you call her?
Call her by her name. We use lots of different
I'll say
names.
Wife.
Yeah. I do. I say wife.
You do? Mm-hmm. You say wife.
I'll do
to
that
her?
A lot, yeah.
Because you're a son guy to your kid, uh-huh. Which I always find wacky. Yeah. When dads call their son son, I've always found that wacky. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you go, wife, please respect my things.
Yes.
Like I imagine that
precisely
tone where you're over it and you're like, she's like, what do you mean, Danny? And you're like, this is what I mean. And you're moving your hands. You're like, this is exactly what I mean. I don't ask for much in this world. I don't have there's not a lot of things that I do best. This is my thing. Please respect my things.
100% correct.
That's how I imagine
every
that.
Part of that is accurate. Yeah. Hand movement, tone,
yeah.
The short burst of words, because I'm irritated, I'm trying to say something that yeah. I will regret. It's right. That. Exactly right. 100% correct.
You don't really call her wife, do you? That's
yeah,
funny. You'll be like, wife? Does she call you husband?
Yeah, sometimes. We mix and match. Because the point That's is funny. You see each other a lot. there's a lot.
So much time.
Always there. Always
really
there.
A lot of time.
Always around.
I think John Carlson's going to be on the show next, so that could be fun. We're not really sure, but if not, we'll just be here, and you like us too, and it'll work out for everyone. But I think that John Carlson, who just signed a $64 million contract, is going to join us on Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. One of many highlight moments for John Carlson in a legendary postseason that helped net the Capitals their first ever Stanley Cup. He scored 5 goals. He assisted on 15 others. 20 points in a illustrious 24-game run to a championship, a plus 11 in the postseason after leading all NHL defensemen with 15 goals and 68 points during a regular season in which he did not miss a game. And when you do that in a contract year, the Brinks truck gets backed up, and John Carlson is a very handsomely paid man, and he earned it, and he joins us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. John, it's Grant and Danny. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it. Let's start with the news that you're back in D.C. Did you ever have a doubt? Did you think that this may not happen? What was your reaction when you got the term, the money, the years you were looking for?
I mean, you always assess what's going on, and certainly my hope was always to stay here, but nothing's a given in this business. But I was just thrilled to stay. I'm happy to be here and to keep playing for the Washington Capitals. That's kind of definitely was my goal going into all this stuff, and glad it all worked out.
Yeah, I would say that it worked out. So when you look for a summary and someone goes, hey, how was John Carlson's June of 2018? You'd say it's pretty good, right? You get a little Stanley Cup, a little parade, a little long-term deal as well. As we wind down this month, reflect on what's happened here these last 30 days and just kind of the journey you've been on and your teammates have been on.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. I think when I think about it, you think back at all the different moments and everyone kind of had their moment.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, at some point in some series, everyone had a breakout game. Everyone had a, you know, put the team on their back kind of performance. And that's what you need to win. And that's why it's so hard to, you know, to do. And but it's been a crazy couple weeks here for me. And I'm just happy to get this done and look forward to some downtime to, you know, relax and reflect a little bit in more detail and time.
I know that it's been a whirlwind and you guys win the cup and now you get the deal done. And so you really haven't had a minute to just kind of relax with the fam at all. But I'm curious, how much time will you allot yourself to do that before you start thinking about next year? You know, Osh led the chant of back to back at the championship parade, which we love. Do you feel like with all the turnover that is looming and Barry Trotz out that you guys could be a viable contender to try to make another run next year?
Yeah, certainly. I think we at the core is all still in place that we've had for the past couple of years. And I think we got so many young guys on the team now that contribute. And those guys are certainly only getting better. And that's just kind of something that we challenge ourselves with. That's the goal. That's always been the goal, and that will definitely never change. So, I've thought about next year. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm just happy to be here.
John Carlson with us here on Grant and Danny. John, you just had your best year, and then you guys obviously as a team had your best year. What do you attribute kind of the jump here, 68 points this season? Obviously the playoff run that Grant mentioned. I feel like you played your best hockey. Hey, do you feel that same way that you played your best hockey this year, and what do you attribute that to?
I think just the past 2 years, I've been a little bit banged up that I've maybe let affect me a lot more mentally and physically. And this year was my first year coming in fully healthy and ready. I think, you know, you get to a point where the mental side of the game means a lot more. And I think that was probably one of the biggest reasons why I had such a great year this year. I'll be looking forward to, you know, keep trying to get better, keep doing the things that have gotten me here, and, give my team the best chance to win.
John Carlson staying with the Capitals, an 8-year contract is signed, sealed, and delivered. A lot of guys look forward to that big payday, that free agency and a bidding war. I mean, you didn't throw your name into the hat or go kind of see what else was out there and try to go to the highest bidder. Any part of you earlier in your career maybe think that might be something you wanted before falling in love here in town with this city? Why not give yourself a shot to just see what might have been?
I you always think about it, but for me it was pretty easy to stay here. I love it here. This is my home. I've lived here for, you know, the past 6 or 7 summers, so this is my home base, and to play for a Stanley Cup contender and being a place that you love is a pretty easy decision. So from that standpoint, I don't think I really thought about that.
As you look back on the Stanley Cup run, which, by the way, I have not gotten sick of saying, it's a lot of fun to be able to say that as a lifelong Washington fan. But as you go back on this run, John, what was the most important moment, kind of that jumping off point, turning point, whatever you want to call it, as you guys made your way through the postseason? What do you think the most critical moment was where you guys, hey, felt, you know what, this is possible?
Well, I think every series has had its moments, but I think it starts against Columbus. I think we go down 2-0 at home, and Lars scored game three to, kind of get us back in the series. That's a tough. We're a great team, and I think we'd still have confidence to be able to come back from that. But you never know in this game, and just to get back in that series to propel us. And I think that kind of garnered a lot of energy and momentum for us that we really didn't look back after that. I think we played some of our best hockey against Columbus, and then, in my opinion, it was probably one of the hardest teams to play. So that kind of rocketed us to where we are.
John, you've got some experience here, and playing under Todd Reirden. Obviously, nobody knows what's going to happen here with the head coaching spot, but if it is him, what does he bring to the table, and how has he helped your game?
Yeah, he's worked with all the D pretty closely for 4 years now, and I think he's a big reason of my evolution and how I've looked at the game, played the game, changed things within the D core to make us all more efficient and effective, I would say. And he's a great hockey mind, that's for sure.
John Carlson of the Caps. Couple of moments left here on Grant and Danny. And you can hear him today with Chad Dukes on CDVTW. He's been a regular guest on The Fan all year long. I've thoroughly enjoyed those segments with Chad. He'll have another appointment with Dukes coming up today. John, the celebration this team had for several days after the Cup was iconic and legendary. It was unlike any championship celebration any of us have ever seen when a team won a title. What was your reaction? Because you weren't in a lot of those videos where Ovi's diving into the fountain, or we're seeing some of the craziness that's going on to Alex Ovechkin and the fellas, and you were a part of some of that partying. Oshie drinking through his jersey a couple different times. It was a blast to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great moment. I think looking back, and just how much that I think us players and the fans deserve. And I think that was just a reflection of that, and it was a rodeo. It was pretty wild and fun to experience that, and the parade to cap things off was just incredible to see the support and drive down Constitution Ave. That's pretty special stuff, and I'm just glad to be a part of it.
I'm sure you've gone back and either watched or seen it somehow. It's bumped into you, but I will listen, and I did this weekend again, every couple of days probably for the next few months, to Ovechkin's just excited, joyous scream with the cup over his head, or when he goes, "This is for you, boys and girls and babes, let's go." I think I'll be listening to that until the end of time.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive. A lot of people have talked and made public speeches, but none more glamorous than that in my mind.
John, my favorite story about this whole thing as you guys are celebrating is you're leaving as celebrations are going on in Arlington, and you pass by my friend Grant Paulson and his wife, and you took the time from your commute home, probably after a pretty long couple of days, to go back to the security guard, tell him that these guys needed wristbands and to get upstairs, and then you went on your merry way. I think that says a lot about you. And maybe a lot about my friend Grant. What did you make of that incident?
No, I just whatever I can do to help. That's what I do, and I was just glad that you got to enjoy it as well.
Dude, I'm not gonna lie to you, and I don't know what this says about my life. That was one of the three or four best nights of my life. I'm not even exaggerating. I don't know how to properly thank you. I'll never really be able to. There's nothing that I can afford that John Carlson would care enough about to properly give him a thank you, but I'm not kidding. That was a night we'll never forget, and I really, really appreciate it.
Well, no problem. I don't need any thanks for that. That's for sure.
I love it. Hey, before we let you go, make sure you have your thank you but no type stuff ready for when everybody starts asking you, like, for, they got this investment pitch for you,
yeah,
or there's different ideas that they got that's like can't miss. Your polite thanks, I'll talk to my business manager. Whatever it is, make sure you have that, because it's coming, I'm sure, buddy.
I'll do my best.
John,
congrats,
enjoy
dude.
Not only the rest of today. I know you get a lot of work to get done. We'll be listening to you with Chad, but we appreciate you hopping on with us, and congrats. It's well-deserved.
No, thanks for having me on.
You bet. There's John Carlson of the Capitals. He is staying in Washington, D.C., as one of the higher-paid players now in the NHL. And all he did this year was lead all defensemen in goals and points, and then in the postseason did the exact same thing en route to helping lift the Caps to their first-ever Stanley Cup. Coming up on Grant and Danny in moments, we will get into a story out of the NFL where there is a player who became a doctor, like an actual MD.
Like a real doctor.
And he wants to put MD on the back of his jersey with his name, and the league is telling him no. Should they? You're listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny on just a pristine, beautiful day for golf or any other outdoor activity in Dulles, where we're at the 1757 Golf Club for the Purple Heart Open. One of the golfers had just come by, and he said, what are you guys doing out here? So I told him, yeah, we got a team. We're supporting the cause. And he's like, well, at least you got a nice day. And I told him, and I hadn't really thought about this, I'm more comfortable here right now than I would be in our studio, which is always hot. It is so nice. We're under a tent, so the sun is not beating down on us. But we're also on a back patio of their restaurant where they just served us delicious food. Had salmon salad, and all it was amazing. But this is perfect. I could do the show here every day if CK was cool with it.
Because there's a little bit of a Drew Brees out here, it makes it really palatable.
It's so nice.
If the air was just still, it would be it'd be a sweat bath. We'd be in a pool of our own sweat. But because of the Drew that's kind of rolling through here, the Uncle Drew, it's very pleasant.
How was your Donald Driver out here, though?
I mean, it's really far and awkward.
How long did it take?
Cost money. 47 minutes.
Okay, so that's about me going to Nats Park on a weekday, getting a little taste of my medicine there.
Sure.
I would prefer this, I think. Mine, for the record, was close to 45, because your boy has a little easy pass situation, did a little hot lane, bypass some things. But that said, I could probably do it 35 or 40 if I timed it out right. I might prefer this to going into D.C. every day.
Because the thing about coming out here is you're moving. And there's something about how insane it drives a person, even if it takes the same amount of time.
Yeah.
Right, if I go, it's going to take you 30 minutes to get somewhere. You go, okay. If you're doing 67 versus doing 7.
Such a difference.
I'm telling you, something about it is just more relaxing. It's easier. Not being able to go exactly as fast as I want to go at all times on a commute makes me incensed. Makes me incensed.
I'm the same way.
So I understand that pathology. I get it.
I was actually talking with my buddy this weekend about where the Redskins' next stadium's going to be. I end up talking about that with people all the time now.
People ask. That's, by the way, one of the five things people ask me about all the time.
Really?
I have information. Like, I know something.
So it wasn't like they were getting information from me, but it's just something I always start talking to people about.
Yeah.
And
dinner
we
on
said,
Saturday,
well,
they asked me.
Here's where it's going to be. It's going to be at RFK Stadium. It's going to be at National Harbor, or it's going to be out here somewhere in the Dulles-Ashburn kind of region. And our point was, well, if it's way out in this area toward Leesburg of Virginia, that is just a pain in the butt, way too far outside of the city, not necessarily currently metro accessible. I'm not sure if I agree with all that coming out here today. Yes, it is a little bit of a pain, but there's so much real estate and nice things, and everything is so new and fresh and clean, and I like it out here. I really do. You know I want to move out here.
Oh, I do know that.
I want to be Jason Bishop so bad I can taste it.
But you've always been okay, because you're a small-town boy living in a lonely world. You've always been so okay as a faraway guy.
Right.
For you, far away is fine.
Far away is fine. I'm outside the Beltway right now.
Yeah.
A little bit further than I'd like to be, so I turn a lot of things down. Like, hey, let's go to dinner. Great. Love to. Where do you want to go? Washington, D.C. No.
No.
That's kind of how that conversation
right.
goes.
Right, and that's kind of my view. What I think you and other faraway people always try to do is that faraway isn't that far away, and then try to convince other people to come
True.
Out that way. The other thing that faraway people do is they don't understand why somebody wouldn't want to do faraway. I'm not accusing you specifically, but faraway people who like will live in Warrenton and think it's close, it's not. It's so far.
That's unreasonable.
It's so far.
This is close enough, though, that I wouldn't call it far away person.
No, this is far away.
Warrington's far away guy.
Warrington's aggressive far away. Like, so is Lovettsville. So is like places Leesburg.
Those things
points
might
beyond.
As well be Texas. I'm talking
this is
about
my point.
Right here in Ashburn. I drive in without traffic in 45 minutes. We're fine.
Yeah, this is a far away place. And far away people who don't mind far away can't understand why someone would mind.
You're forgetting something.
What's that?
Where'd you park when you got out here? Where'd you park?
The parking lot that the golf course provides.
A really big parking lot. A lot of spaces. How much did you pay for your parking?
Nothing.
Oh, free parking.
Yeah, this time.
Virginia's doing great. See what I'm saying?
Sort of.
You parked in a parking lot.
Right.
With a lot of spaces.
But you'd have to park it. You think Dan Snyder will give it to you for free when you park out here for Redskins games? Is that what we're talking about still or no?
Oh, I was talking about working out here.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I was talking about working here.
We didn't. We didn't park. We didn't pay for Lanham parking. You ready to do that again?
No.
Not as much fun.
I'm not ready to do that.
Not as much fun.
It wasn't quite the same.
We could do a lot of things. Let's just all agree never to go to Lanham again.
You know what? Hand me that piece of paper.
Can we get locked up with that?
Sign that right now.
Dear management, please no Lanham. Thank you.
Have you ever heard of Laurent Duvernay Tardif? Something like that.
Yeah. Isn't he like a Prince of Monaco or something like that?
I believe he is. He's also an offensive tackle with the Kansas City Chiefs, who, a Canadian, is now a doctor. 27 years old.
That's amazing, dude.
He started 13 games in 2015, 14 games in 2016, got hurt last year at one point, but started all 11 games that he played in. He is a starting tackle in the NFL. He also now is legitimately a doctor. He graduated from McGill University.
That's amazing.
His day job as an O-lineman for the Chiefs, kind of cool. The fact that he's a doctor, a little bit cooler. Wears number 76. And on the back of that 76 jersey, he wants to put MD, indicating his status as the NFL's only active player with a medical degree. And by the way, I'd imagine one of the few legitimate doctors that has ever played in the National Football League before. I'm not talking about Doc Walker or some guy that's just called doctor.
Right, so guys have done it after they graduated.
Right.
They go on to law school, they go on to medical school. That's amazing, too. This guy, while he's still active on an NFL roster, became a doctor. That's amazing.
Celebrate that. Please make that known that he did that. It would say MD Tardif, which is his last name, T-A-R-D-I-F. The league is telling him no. They allowed Ocho Cinco on the back of jerseys. And ever since then, I guess, have kind of changed their stance on what they allow on the back of NFL jerseys. So they're going to say no to Duvernay, or his name is Duvernay-Tardif, MD, I guess is what he actually wants to put. How is this different than putting like IV for the fourth?
I don't know.
The third, or a senior or something like that. Please allow him to do that. The Chiefs, by the way, are selling, it looks like, their jerseys on their website. Maybe you can make them your own, which a lot of people are celebrating his accomplishment by going and purchasing that jersey. But according to the Kansas City Star, the league is saying that he cannot actually wear it in a game. This annoys me, and I don't know why.
It's one of those things where I understand, like, you're worried about a slippery slope. You're worried about guys putting, you know, nicknames, or somebody going with "he hate me" or converting his name to something weird, you know, Dante Hittner or something like that. That's really upsetting to you. This is not a precedent that you're setting. I'll tell you this. This is what I would do if I'm Roger Goodell. The Goodelltron 4000.
I think I know where you're going with
Goodelltron, that. Public statement, issue, number. I'd walk out there and I would say, you know what? If a bunch of guys become doctors while they're active duty NFL players, we'll jump off that bridge when we get there. In fact, we'd encourage every one of you guys to go to medical school in your free time. If you figure out a way to do that, we'll put whatever the hell we want on the back of your jersey.
Yep.
Just, I mean, congratulations on winning that war, NFL. I mean, that's
what,
so
stupid. What do they put for lawyers? Esquire? ESQ or
something?
You
can something? Put ESQ.
So, you know what? You want to become a lawyer and go to law school in your free time?
Drop an ESQ on the back
end.
We'll
put Esquire Kerrigan on the back of your jersey if you'd like. Until you accomplish these things, it's not that big of an issue, so we're going to let this one guy
do it. You want to be a certified public accountant? Godspeed. Steve Smith, CPA. You know what I mean?
Grant and Danny on the fan. Charlie Slows. Believe he's also a doctor of some type, isn't he?
Dr. Slows.
Doctor of the radio broadcast. Will join us at the top of the hour in 4 minutes. Got to ask him about Bryce Harper's resurgence. Is this the beginning of the rest of his season? And how can the Nats get themselves going when they've got a double-A arm and Rodriguez making starts, and a triple-A arm and Fetty making starts, and no Steven Strasburg or Jeremy Hellickson to be found? You're listening to the fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.